Hello and welcome to the Musicians Map podcast. I'm Kane Power. I talk to a lot of independent musicians at all levels. Some are just starting out at the beginning of their journey, some are trying to gain exposure in the industry, and some are trying to make music their career. But common among all of these groups is that they find it difficult to know where to direct their focus in order to achieve their goals. The Musicians Map ebook and audiobook is your remedy to this problem. In the book, I outline every step you need to take in order to create success in music, however you see it. I've compiled more than 20 years of hard-earned lessons into one place, so you can make the most of your passion. Get the book at musiciansmap.org or on Amazon. The number one question I get asked by many of the independent musicians I mentioned is, how do I promote my music? My answer usually covers a variety of ways, but social media is always the first thing that we talk about. So today, we're taking a closer look at social media promotion. Social media has transformed the music industry and forever changed the way we as artists interact with our audience, who are more accessible than ever before. But when every musician in the world has access to these social tools, their impact becomes diluted, and if you take your finger off the pulse for even a second, you can be left behind. In a world where new information is a constant flow and attention spans are at an all-time low, how do you make sure your voice is being heard? To help me answer that question is Moses Robbins. Moses is a social media expert. He's worked as a content producer, digital marketing consultant, and digital producer for some of New Zealand's most exciting companies. He's appeared regularly on television and YouTube. He's currently a digital strategist for The Land of Milk and Honey in Christchurch. And importantly for this podcast, Moses is a musician himself.
Okay, Moses, welcome to the Musicians Map podcast.
Hello.
Thank you for coming on. So let's get into social media. I think it's fair to assume that most people know what social media is these days, so we don't really need to define it. The first thing I want to talk about is why social media is so important for modern artists.
Yeah, good question. I think it's important for anybody who's just wants to be connected. I mean, particularly artists, because you can, I don't know, you can just push your brand harder. Like, we kind of naturally do it as humans in our, you know, on our Facebook and Instagram, we kind of share our highlights, really. Mm. Like, and sometimes our lowlights, like if something sad happens or, but generally we kind of put across this somewhat of a persona, I think.
Yeah.
In the same way that when we, if we get dressed up and we go to a party, I mean, we're just ourselves, but we kind of, I don't know, we have a couple of drinks and we present aspects of ourselves in different settings.
Yeah, so I mean, you're saying it's similar to an actual social situation where you are putting forward your best sort of self.
Yeah, very, very much so. That's a big analogy I use a lot, especially when dealing with businesses. With older business owners or decision makers who are trying to wrap their heads around it. Mm. And it's like, okay, just forget about the technical side and just think of it as how you would interact with if somebody walked into your shop.
Yeah.
So I think with artists, it's the same. It's the same as if you were reaching out to anybody. It's kind of different, though, because in real life, when you say something, you can use body language and mannerisms, and as communicators, we can fumble over our point till we get there, mm. and it eventually happens, and there's a back and forth. With social, in terms of like getting a point across in a post, you kind of have to, once it's there, it's there. I mean, you can edit it, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, so I know what you mean.
There is a bit of a conscious kind of playtime that comes into constructing constructing who we are, which I think we do that naturally in real life.
Mm.
Like when I think about live gigs, if we know that there's somebody there from, I don't know, a record label or a booking agent, and we've invited them to come to the gig and they actually turn up, it's not like we're being two-faced, but we'll probably put a bit more effort into them than like just old mate or like that Punisher who's at every show and just wants to talk about like what pedals you're using, and it's like, they haven't changed since last gig, dude. Like, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So we kind of, yeah, but social's interesting because we kind of have to put out an even spread of ourselves.
So would you say that it's like absolutely essential to be present on social media as an artist? Do you think you could get along without it?
I can imagine it'd be fairly challenging.
Hmm.
There'll be audiences out there, but it becomes pretty hard as more and more people are just using Facebook and Instagram, and if they want to check something out or if they've heard about it, you know, they're going to go to YouTube or they're going to go to Facebook or they're, you know, look you up on Spotify. And if you're not there, then it's kind of tricky. If you're an artist and you're trying to, I don't know, get more people to hear you, then it would be a pretty bold undertaking to not put any attention into your social presence or your digital footprint.
I agree that as a new artist, I don't know how you'd get out there, you know, and actually reach a sort of sizable audience without it.
Mm. Especially if you're trying to book gigs, anytime you try and scale or create new relationships, like within the industry, like if you approach a festival and go, hey, we want to play your festival, they're, you know, whatever you send through or your press pack, they're going to want to check out your social following. But yeah, no, I think it's really important.
Okay, so for artists, where do you need to be? Where do you need to have a presence? What social media sites are essential?
I mean, Facebook's obviously really important. Facebook's is where, you know, your mum's on Facebook and all your old mates from school are on Facebook. So there's kind of, it's like your village, you know, just by default. Like if you're on there and you've done the thing or you've been on there for a few years, you're probably connected with at least 100 people. Mm. So I think it's important to be there. I mean, especially if you are personally anyway. Instagram, I mean, it's super visual. There's a lot of media types on Twitter because of the speed of it, and it's kind of like microblogging.
Hmm.
So you're journalists in particular, it's important to have a presence there, but in particular for reaching out to people and engaging and building relationships directly, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel about Twitter. YouTube's really interesting because, I mean, it's Google, so the relationship between Facebook and YouTube is quite awkward. I mean, if you're a band that's got critical mass already, if you just chuck up, yo, it's our new music video, and you just whack the YouTube link in there, probably does all right. But Facebook kind of want to keep people in Facebook. So if you're kind of breaking into things, then it's really important to start playing around with the functionality of Facebook, like the fact that you can upload videos into Facebook. So I think the key is just to figure out what is to kind of have a strategy for all of them.
Okay.
So I kind of feel with bands, businesses, or anyone, that they should have be telling a slightly different aspect or sharing a slightly different aspect of their personality, like contextually across the platforms.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that kicks in. Because if you see a post on Facebook from somebody and then it's exactly the same one on Instagram, it's like, oh, okay, I've seen the thing.
Yeah.
But it could just be as subtle as, you know, you've got a photo of soundcheck or a video of soundcheck or a live stream of soundcheck on Facebook. But then there's just a slightly more quirky picture on Instagram. of the same thing. But if you're a fan, or even if you're just a mate of that group, that's going to tickle your brain, because you're like, when you're over on Instagram, like, you're in Instagram, you know?
Mm.
You're in that platform and you're in that world.
Yeah.
And when you're on Facebook, you're in that platform and you're in that world. We don't really jump around. So I think, I mean, there's not an answer as such, and that's kind of what's exciting about it too, because if you just give something a go and stay consistent, then out of nowhere, like, you might be the person that kind of starts a new trend, and then everybody starts going, oh, that's what we do now.
Yeah.
We do this thing on Instagram, we do this thing on Facebook.
Man, that's really interesting. You know, the amount of times that I have posted on Instagram and then, you know, hit the little button underneath your post that says, do you want to share on, you know, Twitter or Facebook as well, or, you know, whatever the options are. The amount of time that I've gone, yeah, I'll, you know, share on that on Twitter as well. Just thinking that more is better, and not even considering that people that are scrolling through my Instagram feed and that might be, you know, following me on Twitter as well are going to see the exact same post and kind of not really engage with it as much.
Yeah, I think it's got the potential to dilute. It's like what happens when you're at a bar and you bump into someone that you kind of know, and they like tell you a story, and that's cool, and you move on to the, you know, maybe you're just passing ways, and then you come back past and you see them talking to another mate and they're just telling the same story. I mean, that's fine, like, that's totally cool.
Yeah,
you've got your story and you're telling it, but I know that there's something about that always tickles my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
And makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Or they come back to you later on in the night, a bit boozy, and they tell you the same story.
Yeah.
Again, yeah.
Or vice versa, if somebody busts me telling the same story I was just telling them to someone else.
Yeah. Usually I tell people, usually I advise people to use the platform that you use. Don't go out as a new artist, you know, say, okay, I've got some songs now, I'm going to start a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Snapchat. You know, I'm going to do all of these things, because generally, you know, the mediums that they don't use will be poor content. Like my situation, for example, I've always tried to use Twitter on many kind of, you know, bands and businesses and all kinds of things. And it's never done anything. It's never been any good because I don't use Twitter personally.
Mm.
But, you know, I use Instagram and Facebook, and so sticking to those two, you know, I seem to do okay.
Yeah, because you actually work the platform.
Yeah.
It's part of your behavior. Yeah, I think that's really sound advice, because it makes sense to play to your strengths. And also, there's nothing worse than starting an initiative, you know, setting up a whole bunch of stuff, and then it just falls by the wayside.
Mm.
So then if anybody does check you out on that platform, it just looks like you're not up to anything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Before we kind of get into some more of the specifics, is there a unique approach that others should take on social media, or is it the same as, you know, businesses? Should you treat it, you know, the same as a business, or what do you think?
Well, the first thing that I ever do with businesses, and most anybody in this space, is like, it's called like, you work out your content themes or your content pillars. And this is a great process to go through anyway. And we kind of already, everybody kind of already runs it organically. I mean, if you just took the average Facebook user in New Zealand, just from what we all know, you know, there's certain types of memes, you know, in terms of like humans and how they are and how they, you know, so if you've got the mum, you know that the mum is, it's going to be like photos of her baby, photos of her breakfast, more photos of her baby, maybe some of the cat, and probably sharing lots of competitions with food blogs.
Yeah.
You know, there's like certain behaviors. And then if you've got kind of like the young kind of trendy, I don't know, all that hot kids, like, it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of selfies, and it's and then kind of like vague not quite little words of wisdom and, you know, little things. Mm. We all kind of like get this, but we don't really ever talk about it much or think about it. So when we turn it around on ourselves and look at our own approach and go, okay, well, who are we? And with businesses, it's generally the same. It breaks down into about five. You've got your product and your service. So they become a theme. There's like the values, and it's like actual values that are alive, not like integrity. You're not like corporate values. I mean, like, what does this small business actually give a shit about?
Yep.
And if they do care about sustainability and they do all use sustainable coffee cups and it's like a big part of their culture, then that's like a theme to talk about, because if it's part of everyone's behavior. Another one might be like more about the culture, or if they work in a shared space, or, you know, their environment, or whatever they're a part of, it generally ends up being about four or five suppliers. Like if it's hospitality, then where they actually source their drinks, and kind of touches on product. But going through that process is really, really helpful, especially when you come to then you take that and you put that into like a content calendar, like an editorial calendar. So what I'm actually going to post about this month, and you can kind of line it up and have it color coded. And then you know if you're pushing one aspect too hard.
Huh.
So one thing that's really important, especially with businesses, like small businesses doing a shitty job on social media, is they just talk about their product and service and that's all they do. Like, come and get your insurance. And it's like, dude, I'm on Facebook. Like, I'm scrolling through. I've got, like, people I used to go to school with and, like, really good friends, and they've just had kids, and, like my girlfriend and her hot mates, like, and you're just popping up here going, like, come and get insurance.
Yeah.
So what? You know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
You don't I always like to bring it back to the analogy of real life, because it's the perfect parallel. It's like if you turned up to a party and you just started yelling in the middle of the room, like, about your job and what you do, like, and come and, like, or if you're a plumber and you turn up to someone's house and you just start, like, poking around all their plumbing and, like, chucking business cards around the room.
Yeah, yeah.
That's inappropriate.
Yeah.
It's really awkward. But that's so much of that is going on. And then with bands too, I mean, we'll get into this a bit more. It starts to get really juicy. But yeah, I think you've got to be yourself, but then if you don't naturally use the platform, that's going to be a challenge. But you might have, I don't know, there might be someone's partner in the band who is really loves the band and is really active on social, and maybe it's about getting them involved, or they might be a fan, you know, or yeah.
Let's go into kind of developing your online presence, creating your brand. What does it mean, first of all, to create, you know, because a lot of people will be thinking, I make music, I'm in a band, you know, what do I need to be thinking about making a brand for?
I think it's important for people to realize that they already have a brand. They have a personal brand, and that's defined by who they are and their personality and the way they treat people and the things they've done in their life and the way they personally behave on social media and the friends they have and where they work and how they talk about themselves and how they hold themselves. Like, we all have our own personal brand.
Mm.
It's just how humans work, because when other humans are looking at people, we can't take in, there's so much information to take in our physical world, that gets super heightened when you start talking about social, you know, tribes and interacting with people, that we have to form like little schemas and we have to create patterns and we have to put things in boxes. So we're going to do that naturally anyway. So it's not about like pigeonholing your band or like selling out, or like just creating a brand is just common sense. And it's like, you, the most important thing I think for people to realize is they are creating a brand anyway. The moment that they say, hey, I'm such and such, this is our music, you're creating a brand, whether you think you are or not, because that's how people think about you. Like, yeah. they're gonna and it's just gonna be based on how you behave. Back in the day, if a brand new product launched, you would have two things. You'd have PR and then you just have advertising. So there'd be, you know, public relations, so I don't know, lots of events and reaching out to influencers who would then do press releases and stuff, and you would do all this ground level public relations to launch your brand. You're like, you're the new butcher, or you're the new builders in town, whatever it is, and then you start advertising, and advertising used to just be about you just nail it home. It's still, we listen to the radio, we turn on the radio, and there's just someone screaming about their mattresses.
Yeah.
And they're just, it's constant, it's relentless. Mm. And it obviously still works because they're still in business, and they would have tested and measured it if they just hadn't paid those tens of thousands of dollars for all that radio spend. Probably less people were coming in and buying mattresses.
Mm.
So that still works. But we can't take those principles and just apply them to Facebook or apply them to social media. The difference is now is when we think about how we interface, how we interact, that kind of constant scrolling, it's not about getting your message through in one carefully crafted post. It's actually, it's like the meta story over time. So it's what, it's what all of your posts are saying about you.
Ah, wow, yeah, that's over really good.
A period of time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I guess a lot of people wouldn't think about that. You know, like, they just think about how effective can they make one post, rather than what people are, yeah, actually consuming from them all the time makes up to a story.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then what's great about social media is we can actually measure that, because if you have a Facebook page, like a page, not a profile, you can jump in and you can see how your engagement is.
Should we have a page or a group? What's the best kind of approach, do you think?
Well, I think both are good. And Facebook's actually kind of opened it up now, so you can link a group with a page. So in terms of promotion, the reason a page is good is because you can promote from it. So you can boost posts.
Yeah.
Or you can set up an ad account and go into the back end and start having a play around. And there's heaps of free tutorials. I mean, Facebook want you to do this. So you can just go to Facebook or Google it, you know, and learn how to start running ads in the back end of Facebook.
Mm.
That's why a page is really good. But groups can be, I know of a few bands that use groups really effectively. They're really careful on their page about going, hey, guys, please vote for us on this thing, or hey guys, be sure to check out our, like, it's the, there's kind of none of that on the page. It's all just pure content. But and they have a group that's got about 200, 300 members of kind of like their hardcore fans.
Oh, yeah.
And in there they go in and actually just straight up, like, as the members of the band, like, just are way more real about it. Like, yo, we're on Kiwi Soundcheck this week, like, jump on at this time and, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a really clever way to do it, because with groups kind of naturally get more engagement. You'll notice if you're part of a neighborhood group or just any groups on Facebook, you kind of see the content coming up, and they're generally moderated by a few people, so it's a slightly different vibe.
Maybe more personal.
It's way more personal. Yeah, I think both are important, and it's just about using them correctly. Yeah. Using them well.
People are still doing event pages, I guess.
Yep. Cool thing about event pages is, again, even if you just click interested, you'll get notifications from that event. So some of the work we've done with bands, we've even gone as far as creating custom content for the event. So let's say you're going on a tour, we're paying, yeah, three different shows across your country. Actually having custom content in each event page, which isn't on the on your Facebook page or isn't anywhere, it's just in the group. Just in the event page. That can be really effective because it's, again, it's just another touch point, and it just feels like, I don't know, if you've got a notification, someone's invited you to go and see their band, you know, you've never seen them, you always say you will, they were a good sort because yeah. You went to high school with them.
Yeah.
I don't know, if something pops up in there which is kind of specific to the town or the venue or just something, like a little bit of, there's been a little bit of thought put into it, a little bit of creativity, and it's a little bit entertaining. I don't know, that might be just the thing that ticks in the mind and goes, oh, yeah, actually, I might make the effort and, like, pay me $10 and go and see that band on Friday.
Can you give us an example of what sort of thing? What sort of content?
Little videos. So, again, it depends on, like, you've got to play your strengths, and you've got to kind of, you've got to be careful about not punching above your weight. But even the band just sitting together and going, hey Christchurch, we're really looking forward to the show on Friday, blah blah blah, we've got a $20 bar tab up for grabs, whatever it is, or even just funny content or outrageous content, or here's Michelle having a shred, she's our awesome guitarist, can't wait to see you, town, insert town,
yeah here. Yeah, so they know it's unique.
Just anything that's like interesting, because I think people are like, what are we doing? We pull out our phones and we just aimlessly scroll. Like social media is quite different to Google. Like when we go to Google, we're definitely looking for something, because we type it in, we're like, best Indian restaurant, like third party car insurance. But in Facebook, we're just like kind of just aimlessly scrolling.
Just wanting to be captivated, eh?
Yeah. It's like, feed, like, give me something.
Yeah.
Like, feed me. It's not actually about you, the publisher. I don't care about you. And I know you're a band because I can see it there on the profile, you know? Like, I care about me and my entertainment or what I'm avoiding. So I think, like, getting into that mindset when you start to produce content, I think that's the place to start. Like, if you're getting caught up, like, oh, we're gonna, you know, you get more likes, or we've got to get people to the show, or, like, yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to be there driving it, but at the point of actually going, okay, who, like, what are we even doing? And that can be really healthy, too, because you might arrive at the point where you go, well, actually, as a band, I mean, our songs are pretty cool, and our fans like us, but we're really, really boring people. And these videos we've been doing of ourselves just, I don't know, it seems to be hurting the band. And that might be time to call up, like, old mate who's, like, your roadie and just loves it. And he becomes, like, your band mascot. And all the content on your band page is just, like, this weird guy talking about your band. You know, like, anything. There's no rules, but I think, and we see this because when things take off and then become memes, and then everybody's doing it for a wee bit, and then it dies down, and the next thing comes along. It's just because one person had the idea, or a group of people had the idea, but more importantly, actually followed through and executed it. Like, they actually just did it. Because I think we all have, especially creative types, we all have ideas all the time. But the actual execution of it is the really hard part.
Yeah.
And then I think that's often why it's frustrating. Musos are typically quite judgmental, because we're like, why is that band doing so well? Like, their music's shit. And it's like, yeah, but they're fucking doing it.
Yeah.
And chances are, if you go back and you look at their social media and you look at, like, their hustle, they've just been consistent, slow burning, just always making the effort. And it might not be the best content, or it might be rubbish, but the fact is they've been doing it.
I think that
really applies to social in a big way.
I think that's what it comes down to. That's the really gold information right there. You know, doing it consistently, trying to make it unique, doing what you're good at, being self-aware, maybe. If you're not good at it, maybe trying to find someone who is, or a way to be better at it.
I mean, we are unique, you know. Like, if you're writing, if you're actually making music and you're writing music, you're doing a thing. So, just as much as possible, be that thing, and let it come through in your posting. Yeah, and in terms of that consistency, cadence is a term we use. I mean, it's a musical term. Cadence, like the frequency of the notes, but it applies as well to social. You'll notice too, and even personally, you know, some weeks where you just seem to have some bangers, like you upload a photo just kind of ad hoc of your breakfast, and it's like, whoa, that seemed to get a lot of likes. And then you just say a funny little quip the next day, pops into your head at the lights, and it's like everyone buzzes out at it, and you start to get like this little momentum happening. But then if you don't post for ages, and then you post something, like, nobody sees it.
Okay, so that's a perfect segue into what I was thinking. How do you make sure that those posts are seen? And as you said, has it got to do with momentum? Does your content get rewarded because of immediate likes and immediate shares? And does the more people that see it, does that mean that it just grows exponentially?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors. It used to be called Edge Rank, and it was quite a definitive algorithm, and that kind of got discontinued in 2012, and now it's just as mysterious as Google. But again, it comes back to that, just like SEO, it comes down to that paradigm where of you shouldn't really be trying to hack the platform for the best way to get your stuff seen. Just do good stuff. But obviously within that, there's still some concrete things, and they are, yeah, definitely timing. If you post it, at midnight, everyone's in bed, so they're not going to see it. But if you post at lunchtime, or 7 p.m. after Shorten Street, yeah, more people are likely to see it. And then absolutely there's a momentum that builds if a few people like it initially. Because all that's happening in the algorithm is there's machine learning occurring in the back end, and it's just trying to provide you with good content, with content that it thinks you'll be interested in.
Sure.
So how does it measure that? It's like, well, if a few of your mates have interacted with the content and it's only popped up in the last hour and it's from a page and you like that page, then yeah, you're going to be way more likely to see it. Obviously, there's ways to trump it. Like, you can just boost it, and when you pay, it'll get in front of people. Other things too, like images work really well. Videos, and that's not just sharing a YouTube link. That's actually uploading natively into Facebook.
Or Facebook Live.
Facebook Live, yeah. Facebook Live's amazing, and that's available in groups now and in events. And everyone kind of gets a notification.
Wow. I didn't know that.
It can be quite a powerful tool. One personal test that I did when Facebook Live first came out is I would go live and I'd just spend 30 minutes like making my breakfast and being a bit silly, and everyone would buzz out because it was quite novel at this point as a function. But then I would, as soon as I ended the live stream, like I publish it in HD, but then I'd hide it so that no one could actually access it, and I'd rip the video off Facebook, cut it down into like a 30-second best of, or like the highlights, and then re-upload that and kind of link a few things, like at mention a few of the people that interacted with the post, and, you know, if I was drinking a VB in it, I'd like tag VB in it. And like that would really crank, and it kind of got a bit of momentum because then it set this precedent that it's like, well, if you want to see the live stream, you've got to actually be there live.
Well, yeah. You mentioned tagging other people and companies. Obviously, that's another good way to boost your posts and get it seen by more people.
I mean, Instagram, absolutely. I mean, hashtags on Instagram are really, really, really important.
Yep.
And you can just do it as a test. Like right now, if you're listening, grab your phone, take a photo of – a lamp, your lamp, or your ceiling. Just something, publish it and just hashtag, go bananas on the hashtags, but do like lamp.
Insta-lamp.
Hashtag, yeah, Insta-lamp, interior design. Mm. And you'll probably get like 7 or 8 likes in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
From, I don't know, interior design companies or, you know, because people would like monitoring that. There'll be some bots and stuff.
Yeah, but
the point of the exercise is to show that you know, there's it's a function. Mm. It's not about trying to game it or exploit it, but it works. So just, yeah, test and measure it over time. Like if you play technical death metal, then, yeah, hashtag that stuff.
Yeah.
Because then people that are into that are more likely to see it. Facebook, it can be a nice way to just, like, give a nod to someone. Like, if you're, I don't know, if your band meet up and they've had a lunch at a cafe, yeah, like, just tag the cafe in it. Mm. Cafe might care. They might not even have someone that active checking it out.
Going back to momentum, you know, like you're saying, you know, you had a couple of good posts and you start to build momentum. How often should we be posting, do you think? How often should us be posting? Like daily or weekly?
It's proportionate to the amount of followers. And the cool thing about it is you can measure it. So my gut is like, if you've got kind of 150 to 500 followers or likes, then yeah, if you're posting 3 times a week, and this is on Facebook, that's probably enough. You know, just to kind of stay relevant and just have a presence. But once you kind of get up to like 5,000, you can kind of be posting 3 times a day and you won't be annoying anybody. And the way you can figure that out is by, because you can see when you post something from a page, how many people it's reached.
Yeah.
So you can kind of work out over time, you can get that momentum and that cadence right, just from looking at the data. And you don't need any fancy pants third party data solutions. There's plenty of them. Mm. But yeah, Facebook insights just that come out of the box when you start a page are pretty handy. I mean, in there you can see when your fans are online, when they're engaging the most, which posts get the most engagement, if it was a video or if it was a photo. And you can follow other pages, see how often they're posting, how much engagement that's getting, how many total likes they have.
What times of day they post. And
yeah, totally. Yeah. But probably the thing that I always like to run, like when I do a social media audit on a company or when I'm trying to measure it, my own success, and Facebook don't really give you this metric because they just want you to sink money into the platform. But it's actually engagement rate against total followers. So it's like if you've got 300 likes on your Facebook page, if you do a post and it gets 30 likes, that's epic because that's like 10% of your total audience.
Mm.
If you've got, and you'll see this a bit, you'll see it when there's like pages where you've got, I don't know, it's like, whoa, this band or this brand or this product have like 20,000 likes, or like 1 million likes. But every post only has, I don't know, 4 or 5 likes on it and maybe a comment.
Yeah.
So that's an indication that something's gone sideways along the way, or they've had a really big boost at some point, or they've done a massive promotion, and then it's just kind of died down. So it's kind of, yeah, from my opinion and in my experience, it's kind of slow and steady wins the race. Look at the data, and if you can kind of be sensitive enough to recognize if you're being a punisher or not, yeah, you can kind of feel it, you know.
Yeah,
but typically the problem is never posting too much, it's not posting enough.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah,
and if you are posting too much, then, and you don't recognize that you're posting too much, then it's probably not going to be fixable, because it's probably an indication that there's not enough self-awareness going on there. Anyway.
Yeah. And how do you remedy that?
Yeah, that's more of a Yeah, that's more of a personal life kind of thing rather than just figuring out how often to post on social.
But it seems like, you know, everyone is on social media and there's so much saturation. I think a lot of people want to know, how do they stand out amongst the crowd when there's just so much out there?
I think consistency is key.
Yep.
Like humans love consistency. It's changing now, but you think about back in the day, you think about all the sitcoms that you'd watch. You tune into these shows and the dad sitting on the couch was exactly the same. It was just like kind of like a misogynistic, lazy asshole. And you'd have like the kind of the hot daughter and the dorky son. And it was just these consistent characters.
The Bundys.
And we'd just tune in
every
week, you know, and nothing changed. You know, shows like Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones have kind of started to mess with that. Mm. But deep down, I think we still love it. So what I love and when you start to see something take off, or you start to see someone have quite a bit of success or seem to be all of a sudden reaching people, like they're like growing, generally it's not that they're doing anything super crazy or big production values. They've just kind of picked one thing that it doesn't feel like they're trying to do it. It's just who they are or part of what they do, but there's consistency to it.
Mm.
I mean, for example, if a band had a mascot, I mean, I haven't seen this, but my gut instinct is I know it worked. Like, let's say a band had some kind of little dinosaur stuffed toy, which was like their band mascot.
Yeah.
And just majority of the content was just that dinosaur in various places, like having a beer. You know, and maybe you can kind of see the band practicing in the back or whatever, or it's sound check, or just, you know, on a mobility scooter or in a trolley. Like, for humans, when you start to tap into like things being repetitive and consistent, like we just love that. Like but then there's surprise. So we know that it's always going to have the dinosaur, and then it reaches this critical mass where it flips in our minds because we've gotten engaged. And we're following the pattern. And so then you can start messing with it a bit. And then that comes into, like, you know, the surprise aspect. So you can start having a bit of fun with
expectations.
Yeah, expectations. And we see that in comedy heaps. That's when you've got, like, the trio. You've got three people in comedy, like the three amigos or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you line up a joke and they're all doing the same thing. And then the third guy does something ironic. And it just works. It taps into, so, I mean, we're getting way smarter too. Everybody's bullshit radar is just really pretty full on these days. So I think the more just genuine you can be, the better as well. It's just picking something and kind of just sticking with it. That's the hardest bit. But if you do that, I feel it will generally work out pretty well for you.
Nice.
And if it doesn't, then you just try a different angle.
Yeah.
But, like, stay consistent with it. Like, have a thing, which is kind of the thing.
And don't make that thing a small dinosaur soft toy, because after that, everyone is going to be doing it and it won't be original anymore. What about keeping up, staying current? You know, is it just a matter of staying involved, you know, is that how you keep up?
I think this is, it's getting quite personal now because it's at the cusp of where I'm about to touch on. I haven't integrated into my life personally, but it's something I'm trying to do. Mm. And what it is it's basically setting up a kind of like a calendar. But it's more of just taking a conscious approach to my social media time and how much time I spend on Reddit and how much time I spend on Facebook. That's my gut instinct about staying current, is starting to get really critical, like self-critical about how we're interfacing with this technology. Because as long as we're just kind of It's just this subconscious thing we pull out and we do in every little bit of downtime and we just flick through. At that point, we're just stuck in the platform.
Yeah.
And until we kind of break through that, it's going to be quite hard to be a publisher.
Yeah,
and to think at that meta level and to actually be effective in a tool, at using it as a tool, if we're still just kind of stuck in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I've got a solid handle on that, but that's kind of where I'm at personally at the moment. I'm like really trying to drill down on that and get some structure into my own behavior, really staunch structure into my own behavior about how I treat it. And then the reason that helps with staying current is because you free up a bunch of time because you're not mucking around. So you can go, you know that you're across Facebook for the day, you know that you've spent time on Reddit, you know that you've checked in on Twitter and Instagram. So, okay, well, what do I do now? Do some research. Go see who's, follow some influencers. Set up a brand new account that's not associated with you personally, maybe just on Instagram. That can be kind of annoying. But set up another profile that's literally just for research time and just follow some key influencers in specific fields. And so when you log into that platform, you know that in that time that you're on it, it's kind of a little bit more disciplined.
Yeah. So
and then if you end up,
So it's like active engagement, right? So you're actively engaging in the media. And especially if you're, it goes back to what you're saying about authenticity, you know, and doing, representing yourself and doing it consistently. If you're searching out media that you are actually interested in, not just being, you know, scrolling through and being fed and reading 16 pages of Reddit, you know, if you're actually seeking out media that interests you, you're probably going to be more likely to find your niche. And to be able to hone in on that and just make it a more enjoyable experience overall, not only just for you, but for the people that are viewing your content.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're finding that you're really frustrated on the platforms or you're finding yourself stuck in it, it's like, well, that means that nothing you're following is really that entertaining. So like stop feeding yourself it.
Yeah.
Especially if then you're thinking you want to go start publishing on it. Because if nothing's inspiring you, or you're not actually like really engaged or looking at stuff that's cool, it would be like if you just stopped listening to all your favorite bands and only listen to music that you just completely annoys you. Like that's not going to have a positive effect on your music. So it's probably the same with social media.
Yeah. We're coming towards the end. I want to we've briefly touched on it, but I just want to touch again on Facebook advertising, because I know a lot of people are hanging on for this this kind of topic, this side of things. Can you give us just a simplified version of how a Facebook ad works, and why musicians should be paying for advertising?
Yeah. Okay. So it's absolutely hectic. And it's kind of creepy, and it's very Big Brother. The reason Facebook is free is because we are the product, like as users, you know? Yeah, I'm not sure if you've seen that little illustration. You've got these two pigs sitting in this farm, and they're like, wow, this is amazing. We get fed, and we get, you know, we get to sleep here, and it's cozy. It's like free, like life is so good. It's like, nah, dude, you're going to be bacon.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's happening on Facebook. So it's all our information being farmed. So if you've never jumped into the back end of Facebook, and this is a little bit different to boosting a post, it's actually going into Ads Manager in Facebook, setting it up, associating it with the paid, with whatever pages you are an administrator of, and then creating an ad. That's pretty fascinating stuff to get into. I mean, as we all know, we can Google anything these days and check it out. But from a practical point of view, what I think more and more musicians should be doing is using very small amounts of ad spend. So we're talking like $5 over a week to just softly do a call to action. So let's say you've got your EP coming up.
Yep.
Your EP release coming up. Just having an ad run in the background which could pull through to your news feed. It's called a dark post. So it's not actually published to your wall, but it's popping up in people's news feed. So it's like an unpublished post. But it's from your page. And it's just going to the people who you target. So let's say you're a rock band and you've got your EP release and you're playing a show in Dunedin. Then you can target Dunedin and you can target people between 18 and 32 who like Shehead and like Villeneuve and like something or other. And they use Android and they have or don't have their high school education.
Wow.
And they do or don't like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Like you can start to get, and like it gets really, really insane. And then you can be testing and measuring the effectiveness of that. Mm. But then it's contextual to the ad as well. So you might want to start thinking about what image you're using and what the call to action is. Because if you're trying to take them away from the website, away from Facebook to a different destination, like a ticket booking function or your website, very quickly it starts to, there's lots of things to consider, but the key with advertising is to just, yeah, don't be afraid to use very small amounts of ad spend, but be really critical of all of it, of the writing, the image, the call to action, and the targeting. And if, let's say if you go, okay, well we can, you know, we can spend $200 on this because this is kind of important and we want people at the show, put $150 aside and just leave it and spend $50 on just testing and measuring slightly different images, slightly different call to actions, slightly different targeting over a week. See which one was the most effective, which had the most engagement, and then sync the $150 into that final one that kind of did well.
Yeah. So what are you actually paying for?
You're paying to force feed that content in front of people. Basically.
And is it clicks or views?
Depends. You can choose. Okay. But impressions, and you'll see it a lot. Like if you bust open your phone right now and go on your Facebook page and scroll down, you'll see probably two posts or three posts down, you'll see a sponsored. Mm-hmm. You'll see a piece of content and it's been sponsored. So that's what they're paying for. And in their metrics, you viewing that has just clicked over as reach, if it's the first time it's reached you. And then the more times you see that, that's clocking up impressions.
Okay.
So the difference between reach and impressions is reach is like how many unique people you reach, and impressions is how many times people saw that ad. So okay. If an ad reaches me once, it can still have multiple impressions on me.
Yep.
But you can set that in the back end of your advertising as well.
Yeah. And
so it starts to get... It starts to actually become like a science and a discipline. Yeah.
Now, do Facebook ads have the, or does the is it integrated retargeting now?
Retargeting works in conjunction with your website, so you can get a pixel for free. And what a pixel! It's just a piece of code that Facebook, in Ads Manager, it generates for you, and you put that into the header of your website. And if you're on WordPress or Squarespace, most of the modern CMSs kind of just have a wee field to plonk in your Facebook pixel.
Yep.
But once it's there, and as long as it's done properly, any visits that arrive to that website while the user is logged into Facebook in that same session, so in that same browser, or even on their phone, they go into a little audience, which just slowly builds. And once that reaches 500, you can actually start advertising to that list. So that's remarketing. So that becomes really, really powerful, because it's like if a whole bunch of people checked out your page to see your new music video. So this, for example, could be a really clever, practical way. You've got your new music video. You upload a 20-second sample of it directly into Facebook, and it finishes, and the call to action is watch the full video on our website, even though it's just actually the YouTube link embedded on your website. But everyone that cares clicks through to your website. They watch the video. But then, because they come from Facebook, you can then get back in front of them a few weeks later or whenever and go, hey, take this action, or, you know, hey, we're actually, you can now check it out on Spotify, whatever it is.
Mm.
But the function's there. It's just that little bit of work to get that pixel onto your website. And then what becomes really, really powerful is once you've got an audience, you can be creating lookalike audiences. So it can go, okay, well, we can kind of tell that the 500 people on your remarketing list are roughly this age, this demographic, live in this area and have these interests. So you can create a whole nother group that theoretically is actually really similar, so theoretically should be interested in your band.
Wow.
It's really cool.
That is
cool. But also, it's extremely creepy.
Yeah, yeah. So, from a band's point of view, from an artist's point of view, how do they know when they should be paying for advertising? Like, at what point should they start paying for advertising?
I think at the point that they want to start, I guess, look at it this way. You've already paid for tuition. You've paid for great instruments. You've paid for studio time. You've paid for everything just costs money. I think more and more it's just becoming a reality that if you want people to be aware of your gig, you're probably going to have to pay a little money to, because you're competing with a lot.
Yeah.
Why should people, just because you love music and your three mates love music and you've poured your heart and soul into this album, I mean, this is really brutal, but just because that's happened, it's like, I don't owe you any, why am I going to come to your show on Friday? Why am I? Tell me why. Just because you think I should. Like, it's real harsh, but it's like, but most importantly, if I don't know about it, then I'm definitely not going to go.
Yep.
And, I mean, this is talking personally. If I saw something pop up now, and it was just some band that I'd never heard of, and the music was kind of all right, but something about the ad really engaged me, I'd probably go to the show because I'm a music lover. I mean, and it wouldn't have to be something magical or amazing. It would just have to be enough to be like, that's hilarious.
Enough to even elicit a chuckle or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Because you think about how back to that behavior of scrolling through, like our time and our attention, that's valuable. That's you think about how much stuff you just skip over in a day, how much stuff you don't look at, stuff that like some marketing team have just spent hundreds of thousands of dollars working on, you know, in terms of like a team and over time, and just everybody's trying to get your attention and to get you to take an action or buy their shit or go to their show.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of just a brutal reality. But before you do go spending money, make sure that the content's good, and you can test and measure. Do a little bit of testing with it with a small amount of money before you go spending, you know, decent amounts.
Yeah, that's good advice.
That would be my advice. Yeah,
Moses, thank you so much. Crazy, incredible advice. I've learnt a lot and I've taken notes, and I'm sure the people listening would have learnt a lot. So thank you so much for your time, dude.
It's my pleasure.
And that's the podcast for this week. Thank you so much to my guest Moses, and thank you for listening and or watching if you're getting this on YouTube. For more of Moses and his social media expertise, head to thelandofmilkandhoney.nz. The artist of the week this week is Decades. Decades are a dark pop band from New Zealand. Their debut album, The Truth and Other People, is out now via Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. Check them out at wearedecades.com and facebook.com/decadesx. As a gift for listening until the end, I've included in the description of this podcast a free download to the Musicians Map Media Artwork Cheat Sheet, which gives you all the image dimensions you need for major social media sites, so you can easily create the right type and size of image and make sure your content always looks great. The Musicians Map podcast is part of the Musicians Map website, musiciansmap.org, where you will find lots of articles and videos, as well as my ebook and audiobook about building success in music. In that book, you'll find experience-based advice about every aspect of learning music, from listening and learning an instrument to recording, gigging, touring, and making money as a musician. For those of you wanting to get serious about your musical journey, I also offer one-on-one development sessions and song critiques, which are honestly an incredible way to gain the focus and direction required to achieve your goals, whatever they might be. I've also got a free 5-step challenge to a clear musical pathway. Sign up now on the Musicians Map website and learn how to find your voice, refine your focus, and follow your true calling. This is essential advice for new and aspiring musicians, and it's totally free. So once again, head to musiciansmap.org to take advantage of all the resources on offer. Also, please get in touch with your comments and your suggestions, and let me know what challenges you are facing at the moment over at the Musicians Map Facebook group. I always respond. Stay positive.